Good day to all of you, and welcome to WeSchool's Distance Learning Program on Marketing Management. Our topic for today is Chapter 9, Developing and Managing Products. A quick look at the learning objectives. We will try to understand what are new products and what is the development process for the new product. What are the steps involved in the new development product process? What are the reasons why products fail? We will look at the diffusion model of how new products diffuse into the market. And we will also try and understand the concept of product life cycle. A few odd broad questions to all of you. Is there a need for a new product or a current product? What is the size of the market? How many customers are there? Who are these customers? How much market share for a particular product can I capture? Why does the customer prefer to buy this product, and why will he buy from me as an organization? Based on these questions, we'll try and understand how to manage a product category. There are six categories of new products which an organization can bring into the market. The first is a new to the world product, a completely new product category. The iPad is an example of a new to the world product. The second category of new product is a new product line. Example, an organization making soaps introduces liquid soaps as a new product line. Product line extensions is the third category of new product. In this, for example, an organization making products, or say for example making soaps, adds medical soaps to the product line of soaps that they are already manufacturing. So that is called a product line addition. The fourth category of new product is improvements. You have a product, you improve it by adding certain attributes and features. So for example, you have automotive manufacturers bringing out one version, one type of car, and then improving that car with attributes like air conditioning or, you know, improving the upholstery, which is called product improvements. The fifth category of new product is repositioned products. In this case, you pick up the product which has already been positioned in the market, but because it is not achieving the desired marketing objectives, you may relaunch it with a new positioning. So for example, Milkmaid. Milkmaid was first launched in India as a tea whitener. It failed miserably as a tea whitener. It was withdrawn from the market and relaunched as a dessert topping. As a dessert topping, Milkmaid is a successful product. And finally, we have the last category of new products, which is lower price products. A company may do a process of value engineering or redesigning the product so as to reduce the overall cost of the product and thereby the price to the customer, improving its ability to fight in the market. And this is then launched as a new category of lower price products to the existing product line. So new product development process typically starts with my new product strategy. The first step is the new product strategy. Do I require a new product? If I require a new product, in which product line do I need to put in the new product? Which market or which set of customers am I going to serve with this new product? How does the new product fit into my overall product and marketing strategy? Having answered these questions and having concluded that I need to have a new product, I go to the next stage of idea generation. What new product can the company get into? What new markets can the company get into? You may have several ideas. Then you have to go to the next stage of idea screening, where the company will develop a comprehensive criteria for critically screening each and every product idea that has been generated in the second stage. At the idea screening stage, a number of product ideas may get rejected, and a few of them will go into the next stage of what we call new product development. After new product development, we develop a prototype and we do test marketing of that product. If the test marketing is successful, we get into commercialization and finally launch the new product in the market. So these are the stages of the new product development process. Let us understand each of this in a little more detail. So step one, the new product development strategy. As I mentioned earlier, the new product development process is a typical marketing process that is linked to the objectives of the marketing department, the strategic business unit, or the corporation in order to meet the needs of the market in a more consistent and better manner. The new product strategy is typically a subset of the organization's overall marketing strategy and is always decided in relation to what we call the product portfolio analysis. The product portfolio analysis understands the entire product range of a product line or a SBU and tries to find the gaps in the product mix of an organization. Based on that understanding, the organization may come up with a plan to launch new products. The new product strategy also specifies the roles that the new product must play in the organization's future plan and the contribution that they must make into the organization's future growth and revenue. Having understood this, the new products must also comply with what is the fitment they have with the company's objectives, how consistent are they with the current product lines that the organization is manufacturing, what are the strengths and weaknesses the organization has in developing these new products and launching these new products in the market from an overall perspective. Once these questions are answered, the new product development process moves to the next stage, which is the idea generation. Now, where does the organization get its idea for new products? The best place or the best source of ideas is customers and users. Customers who are using your product and users who are consuming your product can give you new ideas on what new products can be launched to serve their interests, needs, and wants much better. The second source of idea could be scientific and structured marketing research. The third good source of idea could be competitors. A fourth good idea of new products could be foreign markets, where other versions on other products may have been launched ahead of a market like India. Another good source of ideas is the company's sales force, which is constantly in touch with customers and interacting with customers and understanding their changing needs and wants. And finally, it could be middlemen like channel partners, like distributors, like dealers, and the middlemen who constitute the entire marketing chain. Once the company has a list of ideas it can work on, the organization must evolve a set of criteria by which it will screen the ideas. All ideas are good on paper, but whether those ideas will meet the organization's objectives in terms of market share, in terms of customer satisfaction, in terms of profitability, in terms of development budgets, etc., need to be evaluated. An organization must have a very transparent and very objective criteria by which they will screen the ideas. They will test the ideas. They will seek reactions from customers to these ideas. and find out or generate rough estimates of the costs, likely sales, and expected profits from that idea. Basis which, they will come to a couple of ideas or a few ideas that they may want to develop. The idea screening will also focus on the strengths, weaknesses, and the core competencies of the organization. What is the fitment of the idea with the current objectives and product lines of the organization? What are the current marketing trends which favor certain ideas and don't favor certain product ideas? What are the risks involved with each new product that the organization is thinking or planning to come up with? And a rough ROI or return on investment estimate from each product idea, from each product that the idea that the organization is planning to go into. Basis this understanding, the list of ideas will be shortlisted that they want to go ahead with. And then this list or this small shortlisted set of products will get into product development. Now, product development is typically spearheaded by R&D with inputs from marketing. What are the key activities that R&D does? R&D will do the product development, the physical product development, basis the specifications and requirements that marketing has already given it and which they have obtained from their set of customers. R&D will also develop the product prototype or the estimated service delivery. Simultaneously, while R&D is developing the product and developing the prototype, marketing will devise or revise its marketing strategy based on their newer and more deeper understanding of the market. Marketing will also try and define how the test marketing of this product will be done after the prototype is delivered to them by R&D. With help from finance, marketing will also revise the ROI estimate based on the revised marketing strategy that they have now built. After the R&D has developed the prototype of the new product, the new product development process goes into the next phase, which is test marketing. Test marketing is nothing but the process of launching the product in one or two representative markets in order to understand the customer's reaction to the product and also to the new marketing mix. Here the company tries to evaluate what is the impact or the reaction of the customer to the four P's of marketing, which is product, price, place, and promotion. Also, it tries to get feedback on product use by the customer. The customer, does it meet the customer's likes? Any disadvantages of using the new product? Any risks in using the new product? Any barriers that the customer may have in the use of the new product? They will also try to solicit feedback on the packaging, labeling, and the attractiveness of the packaging and labeling from the customer. The test marketing process is critical to the success of a new product. However, selecting the test market or which city will be a representative market for your product is a very, very difficult task. Also, test marketing is a pretty costly process. Hence, it has to be done in very controlled scientific manner in order to optimize the results that we will get from the test marketing process. Two things typically happen in the test marketing process. The first thing, customer likes the product, in which case the new product development process gets into the next stage of commercializing the product. The second thing which can happen is the customer does not like the product. He finds problems in its usage, or he's not happy with some of the features, or he expects some more benefits which can be built into the product and has not currently been built in. If that happens, if the customer feedback to the product is negative, the product then goes back to R&D for further development and modification. So this process of product development and test marketing is an iterative process till the customer reaches a stage of saying that he is satisfied with the new product that the organization has developed. After the customer says he is satisfied with the new product that has been developed, the process moves to step 6, which is the commercialization. This is the final step in the new product development process, and it consists of tasks that are necessary to launch the product in the market. Typically, a product that has survived the first 4 stages of the new product development process is ideally ready for commercialization. The steps involved in commercialization are as follows. You start with, you fine-tune the product on the basis of test marketing. You give it new features or develop new benefits. The marketing strategy of the product is also revised based on the feedback of test marketing. Once these two processes are completed, the product will get into trial production. While the trial production is being conducted, marketing will plan the product launch and roll out in select markets. Simultaneously, at the commercialization, this thing, the final business plan and the final return on investment estimates are also done by finance with the help and support of marketing. Now, at this stage, the new product has been launched into the market. Now, every product that gets launched into the market need not be successful. Let us understand why new products fail in a typical market. Now, there are several reasons why products can fail, and this could be possible. Some of the reasons could be lack of discernible benefit. If the customer is not able to see a clear benefit of that product, a clear benefit of that service, that product is or that service is bound to fail in the market. To give you an example, there was a time when Mercedes launched a car having wipers on their headlights. The objective was to keep the headlights clean in rain and dust and so on and so forth. The customer did not see too much of value in the headlight having wipers, and therefore that product idea of the headlight having wipers failed because of lack of discernible benefit by the customer. The second reason why the new product can fail is a poor match between the features of the product and what the customers desire. Many products could be designed with insufficient features in the product or insufficient conveniences in the product, and the customer may not like to go for the product. A new product failure may also happen due to overestimation of the market size. So if, for example, the actual market size is 10,000 units and you have estimated the market to be 50,000 units, basis 50,000 units, you want to achieve a 20% market share, which means you should be selling 10,000 units. You actually land up selling only 2,000 units, getting the same 20% market share. However, the 2,000 units that you have sold does not make it economically viable for you as an organization to continue that product. Incorrect positioning can create a new product failure. Again, an example of that is Milkmaid. Milkmaid was initially launched as a tea whitener and it failed miserably as a tea whitener. It was removed from the market and repositioned as a dessert topping, after which it became successful. Incorrect pricing. Incorrect pricing can create a product failure because the customer does not believe A, that the price can be either very low for that product category, or it is too high for that product category. Inadequate distribution. In case the company or the organization cannot reach out to the market effectively, the product can be a failure. Poor promotion and, of course, poor product quality can also result in product failures. So these are the broad reasons why products fail. We will also try and look at how new products get adopted in markets. Now, there is this model of diffusion, which typically happens every time a new product is launched in the market. Now, an adopter is a customer or a consumer who is happy enough with his or her new product trial and can be motivated to buy and use the product again. He or she, the adopter sees the product as an innovator and therefore likes to take the product or buy the product again. The diffusion model is the process by which a typical new product or an innovation penetrates into the market. Now, this is the rate of diffusion of a new product. This is a typical bell curve with five different categories of customers. We start with what are the innovators. You have the innovators, you have the early adopters, you have the early majority, you have the late majority, and you have the laggards. Now, it has been found empirically that innovators are about 2.5% of your customer base. The early adopters are 13.5% of your customer base. The early majority and the late majority each is about 34% of your customer base. And the laggards, the people who adopt that product the last, is about 16% of your customer base. Now, let us look at the characteristics of each of these different customer types. The innovator is a typical customer who is eager to try new products and ideas, is a risk taker. He always wants to be seen as the early, one of the first one, the early guys who try to, buy the latest gizmo, the latest technology, and they project an image of being up to date with whatever is happening in the market. So this is a typical innovator. About 2.5% of the customer base constitutes these type of innovators. Then you have the early adopters. These are people who will wait for the innovators to use the product, and once they are convinced, they will go and buy it as quickly as possible after that. They operate as a group, and different groups of early adopters buy the same product category in a similar fashion. Then you have the early majority who rely on opinion leaders. So the word of the opinion leader, word of few key people in the society, motivates them to purchase a new product or technology. The late majority is the next category who is depending, this category of customers is depending on the early majority. They wait and watch to see if there are any problems in the new product. They wait and watch if there are any product failures. They also wait till prices of their product stabilize in the market before they go and purchase this new product or new category. And finally, you have laggards, people who come from these lower socioeconomic strata of the society, who are alienated from a rapidly advancing society, who don't see too much of value in that new product or technology and are therefore reluctant to buy it. And they keep questioning, is this product required? Why should I buy it? Is it necessary for me to live a life well? And so on and so forth. And they may or may not buy the new product till at the very, very end when it no longer becomes, no longer possible to live without that product. So this is how a typical product diffuses into the market. Now, different product characteristics have an impact on the rate of adoption of the product. So, for example, if you have a very complex product, the complexity of the product refers to the degree of difficulty involved in understanding and using a new product. A highly complex product increases the rate of adoption or the rate of diffusion of the product in the market. I mean, it becomes, the penetration rate takes a longer time for the product to penetrate into the market if it is very complex. The second characteristic of the product is compatibility, which refers to the degree to which a new product is consistent with existing values and product knowledge. So if the product is compatible with what the customer is using right now, For example, if you're using a mobile phone and if you come up with a smartphone, the compatibility of the smartphone with the current mobile phone is very high. And therefore, compatible products, the diffusion cycle reduces. The penetration of that product in the market happens much, much faster. Relative advantage is typically the degree to which a product is perceived to be superior to existing substitutes, increases the rate of adoption of that product. So, for example, when Apple came up with the iPhone, the rate of adoption of the iPhone was very, very fast because most of the customers perceived it to be very superior to existing mobile phones in the market. The fourth parameter is observability. Now, this refers to the degree to which the benefits and the other results of a new product can be learned and observed by other groups of customers and thereby leading to their adoption. If the product is easy to see in use, see in application, the rate of adoption of that product increases and therefore the penetration of that product in the market is much, much faster. And finally, triability. If the product is easy to induce trial in the customer on a limited basis, the rate of adoption and therefore the penetration improves. If the product is difficult to induce trial in, the length of the time taken to adopt and time taken to penetrate in the market increases. A very quick look at another concept in managing products is the product life cycle. Now, the product life cycle actually measures or traces the growth of a product in terms of sales or revenue over a period of time. There is a period of time which goes into the development of the product. And after the product is launched into the market, it undergoes or it goes through four major stages. It is called the introduction stage, the growth stage, the maturity stage, and the decline stage. So these are the four stages of the product life cycle. Now, what are these four stages? Now, the PLC measures how the product is doing over a period of time in each of these stages of the life cycle. The time that the product spends in each stage is unfortunately unknown. And when one stage ends and when the second stage starts is very difficult to judge. There is no scientific basis on which this judgment can be made that the product is going from an introduction stage to the growth stage, etc. One cannot predict accurately how long a product will remain in any of the four stages of the product life cycle. Now, if going to the stages in detail, the introductory stage represents the full-scale launch of a new product in the market. The introductory stage has very high marketing costs, has very high failure rate, and very high production costs because at the introduction stage, the volumes of production is very low, and therefore the production costs are very high. The key focus or the focus of the marketing department in the introductory stage is to create awareness and to induce trial. There is a high focus and pressure on personal selling to induce the trial of the new product. This is typically the introductory stage. In the growth stage, when the product moves from the introductory stage into the growth stage, sales start growing at a rapid pace. Advertising is still very heavy. The product is now available in larger markets. The channel of distribution is now getting established. So therefore, your channel network, the reach of the channel network has increased. Typically, in the growth stage, prices may fall because you have reached higher volumes of production and therefore costs have also dropped. And profit reaches its peak. From this stage, the product moves into the maturity stage. In the maturity stage, the communication is more on persuasion. There are more costly promotions. The communication is more of a reminder that yes, we are there as a brand, we are there as a product. You don't want to induce trial and create awareness, so the communication objectives change. The brand is now more or less familiar with the product, with the customer and the target audience. More competitors have entered the market, and therefore the competition has become more severe and intense. And typically, maturity as a phase continues for a longer period of time than the introduction and the growth phase of the product. And finally, you have a decline stage, which is a product in which is signaled by a long run drop in sales. The rate of decline is governed by how rapidly customer tastes are changing, or customer requirements are changing, or there is a new technology which has created a new substitute product. A very typical example of this product category is at one time, it was a product range called Telex machines. I don't know if any of you remember seeing or having operated a Telex machine, but Telex machines were used for communicating long distances between cities and between countries. There was another technology which came in, which was the fax machine, and the fax machine replaced the Telex machine as a technology. After the fax machine came in, the Telex demand actually had a negative growth curve, and the sales of Telex machines started dropping rapidly. Now, failing demand may force competitors out of the market, often leaving a very small or number of firms manufacturing that product. So you will see the decline stage and industry consolidation happening. Many players go out and get into other product categories, leaving very few companies and organizations to sell in that product in the decline stage. What are the typical problems with the product life cycle? We have studied just one single type of curve of the product life cycle. Many products and many brands and many product categories may not follow the classic pattern. Typically, they may be introduced in the market growth or even in the maturity stage. So there are products which have been launched by organizations which have been in the growth or the maturity phase. Not all brands are equally strong, and the length of the product life cycle varies from product to product, market to market, category to category, and product line to product line. And therefore, it becomes very difficult to understand and judge how the PLC is moving over a period of time. The other issues in product life cycle, which is observed in current times, most product life cycles are getting shorter because customers want more change, faster change, more variety in shorter periods of time. The first mover advantage is very high in product life cycle. So companies or organizations which are able to perceive the need for new products faster than competition, are able to launch products and services faster than competition, usually profit the most. And especially in today's world, there are a lot of fashions and fads coming in which alter the shape of the product life cycle, thus shortening it even further. Finally, coming to the summary, new product strategy is a subset of the overall marketing strategy of the company. A new product development has four broad steps, typically idea generation, screening, idea evaluation, development, and commercialization. Product life cycle has four stages after the product has been launched. It has the introduction stage, the market growth stage, market maturity stage, and the decline stage. Individual brands and products do not follow the same classical product life cycle curve. Nowadays, product life cycles are getting shorter because of the required change of technology, very fast change in consumer patterns and consumption patterns, and fashions and fads. Thank you for your time and attention.